Well, good day to you all, dear ones, and welcome to this 30th day of April. It is day 121 in our journey through the Bible. And yes, you heard me. It is April 30th, the end of the month. We have, once again, made our way through another month of 2024. And it has been a joy, my friend, to spend these days with you. And on this day, we're going to do what we do every day and take some time now in God's Word. And we're going to let His Word take some time on us. Oh, how we need that, no doubt about that. Today, we are in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, 1 Chronicles 13, Psalm 68, and then we'll finish our reading in Matthew, chapter 17. And I'm glad you're here. Father, help us to see 2 Samuel, chapter 6. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on the new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the Ark of God. Ahio walked in front of the Ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nakon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the Ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the Ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the Ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the Ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The Ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God." So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the Ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today! Shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished." So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. 1 Chronicles 13. David consulted with all his officials, including the generals and captains of his army. Then he addressed the entire assembly of Israel as follows. "If you approve, and it is the will of the Lord our God, Let us send messages to all the Israelites throughout the land, including the priests and Levites in their towns and pasture lands. Let us invite them to come and join us. It is time to bring back the Ark of our God. We have neglected it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to this, for the people could see it was the right thing to do. So David summoned all Israel, from Shihor Brook in Egypt in the south, all the way to the town of Lebo Hamath in the north, to join in bringing the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. Then David and all Israel went to Bala of Judah, also called Kiriath Jearim, to bring back the Ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house. Usa and Ahio were guarding the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all their might, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and trumpets. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nakon, the oxen stumbled, and Usa reached out his hand to steady the ark. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Usa, and he struck him dead, because he laid his hand on the ark. So Usa died there in the presence of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Usa. He named the place Perez Usa, which means to burst out against Usa, as it is still called today. David was now afraid of God, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the Ark of God back into my care?" So David did not move the Ark into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The Ark of God remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he owned. Psalm 68. A song, a psalm of David. Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in a fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy, singing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. But he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. O God, when you led your people out from Egypt, when you marched through the dry wasteland, the earth trembled and the heavens poured down rain. Before you, the God of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel, you sent abundant rain, O God, to refresh the weary land. There your people finally settled, and with a bountiful harvest, O God, you provided for your needy people. The Lord gives the word, and a great army brings the good news. Enemy kings and their armies flee, while the women of Israel divide the plunder. Even those who lived among the sheepfolds found treasures, doves with wings of silver, feathers of gold. The Almighty scattered the enemy kings like a blowing snowstorm on Mount Zalmon. The mountains of Bashan are majestic, with many peaks stretching high into the sky. Why do you look with envy, O rugged mountains, at Mount Zion, where God is chosen to live, where the Lord himself will live forever? Surrounded by unnumbered thousands of chariots, the Lord came from Mount Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended to the heights, you led a crowd of captives. You received gifts from the people, even those who rebelled against you. Now the Lord God will live among us there. Praise the Lord, praise God our Savior, for each day he carries us in his arms. Our God is a God who saves. The sovereign Lord rescues us from death. But God will smash the heads of his enemies, crushing the skulls of those who love their guilty ways. The Lord says, I will bring my enemies down from Bashan. I will bring them up from the depths of the sea. You, my people, will wash your feet in their blood, and even your dogs will get their share. Your procession will come into view, O God, the procession of my God and King, as he goes into the sanctuary. Singers are in front, musicians behind. Between them are young women playing tambourines. Praise God, all you people of Israel. Praise the Lord, the source of Israel's life. Look, the little tribe of Benjamin leads the way. Then comes a great throng of rulers from Judah, and all the rulers of Zebulun and Naphtali. Summon your might, O God, display your power, O God, as you have in the past. The kings of the earth are bringing tribute to your temple in Jerusalem. Rebuke these enemy nations, these wild animals lurking in the reeds, this herd of bulls among the weaker calves. Make them bring bars of silver in humble tribute. Scatter the nations that delight in war. Let Egypt come with gifts of precious metals. Let Ethiopia bring tribute to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. Sing to the one who rides across the ancient heavens, his mighty voice thundering from the sky. Tell everyone about God's power. His majesty shines down on Israel. His strength is mighty in heaven. God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Matthew 17. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make 3 shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Then Jesus came over and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Then his disciples asked him, Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes? Jesus replied, Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. But I tell you, Elijah has already come. But he wasn't recognized, and they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer. Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist. At the foot of the mountain, a large crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, so I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. Jesus said, You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, Why couldn't we cast out that demon? You don't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. After they gathered again in Galilee, Jesus told them, The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed. But on the third day he will be raised from the dead. And the disciples were filled with grief. On their arrival in Capernaum, the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people or the people they have conquered? They tax the people they've conquered, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them, so go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you'll find a large silver coin. Take it and pay the tax for both of us. And now may our Lord, who pays our debts, May he now give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. The pathway to real transformation is seen here on this mountain. This story is about far more than Jesus' clothes being transformed, made dazzling white, whiter than snow. It's about you and me. It's about the world and all things being transformed. In this story, we are offered a vision and a voice. The first thing we see is that Jesus, he's the final word. He's the one we're told to listen to over and above all else. Not Elijah, not Moses, not the writings, not the Torah, not Peter, not me, not you. Peter witnesses this amazing moment. There he is. Suddenly, Elijah and Moses are speaking with Jesus on the mountain, and Peter, out of fear or pride or probably both, shouts out, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Peter thinks somehow he's going to have some final say here. And so we hear him say those words, "I will make a tabernacle." Other translations render it, "Let us build." But "let us build" is not the final word. No, those words are often born out of fear and pride. But they will never be the final word. Individuals and kingdoms and churches are always offering this as the final word. "Let us build." But fear, which makes us cower, and pride, which puffs us up, will all be subsumed in the end by God's voice, by God himself, the living word. And we see that here. Suddenly a cloud envelops them, and a voice comes from the cloud. The voice they hear is the Father saying, "This is my Son that I love. Listen to him." At the sound of his voice, they're terrified. They fall face down to the ground. It's at this point that Jesus comes and touches them, says, "Get up, don't be afraid." When they look up, nobody's there but Jesus. Moses, Elijah, gone. Only Jesus remains. No more voices, no more conversations, only Jesus. The one who is the final word. He's the one that remains. And he, the living word, will envelop all of our fearful pride. His voice will break through all things, and he will make all things new. So let's hear the Father's voice on this mountain today. He's pointing us to his Son. And not just on this mountain, but on a different mountain. This whole episode is pointing us to Calvary's mountain. And not just Peter, James, and John are being drawn to Calvary's mountain, no. He's drawing all of humanity there. To himself. When the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all humanity to himself, that he might transform all things, including you and me. And the prayer of my own heart today is that I'll hear the Father well, that I'll see what Peter, James, and John saw, that Jesus is the final word. He is the living word. And through him, he's making all things new. That's a prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Let's continue now in a time of prayer. Feel free to read along with these prayers in the show notes of today's podcast and meditate on these words that are being spoken over you, your family, and our world. And now, let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power. that we might not fall into sin or be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, you have made of one blood all the peoples of the earth, and sent your blessed Son to preach peace to those who are far and those who are near. Grant that people everywhere may seek after you and find you. Bring the nations into your fold, pour out your Spirit on all flesh, and hasten the coming of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Lord, grant that I might not seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, in the pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in the dying that we are born unto eternal life. Amen. And now, as our Lord has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, beautiful hearts, thanks again for joining me in this time in the scriptures and in prayer. These are good practices, my friend, for so many reasons. It helps to renew our minds, according to St. Paul. And oh, how our minds need to be renewed. Our minds can easily be captivated by the worries of this life and so many other things that can make it just difficult to get through the day. So having our minds renewed day by day with the hope of the gospel, by having wisdom offered to us day by day as if it were daily bread, well, those are important steps for us in this very difficult journey of life. Let's not kid ourselves. Life is a difficult journey. But on that journey, there is joy. It's available. It is. And this lifelong journey, of course, is full of all the things, isn't it? You know, we have sadness and pain and grief, sorrows aplenty. But there are some beautiful things as well. There is joy and hope and gladness and love and all kinds of amazing experiences that just make us glad to be alive. It's all there, isn't it? And we need our minds renewed and refocused, restored, to help us know how to get through all of it. And that's what this discipline that we are engaging is in part about. So I'm glad that we can do it together. I'm glad that we have the gift of the scriptures. I'm glad that we have the gift of these technologies that lets us do what we are doing. And I trust it's a blessing to your heart. Well, that blessing is brought to you because of people like you. That is the DRB community. Many of you have been able to and have chosen to partner with Heather and myself to make sure that these podcasts happen every day. So I'm so grateful for folks like Melissa Menini and Esperance Manuchenka, Michael Shearman, Joetta Sanders, Nancy and David Dean, Kyle Paulson, David Strisick, and Karen McBride. Blessings to you, my sisters, my brothers, my co-laborers here in this work of the Lord. And if you're listening today and you would like to join that team of folks that are making the dream possible, and that is so amazing and so needed, and all you need to do is head on over to the webpage, dailyradiobible.com, click on the donate link. In fact, you don't even have to go to the webpage. Right in the show notes of today's podcast, you will find a link right there. And if you are old school and you prefer the U.S. Post, you can reach us at Daily Radio Bible, 2748 Northeast Moline Way, Hillsboro, Oregon, 97124. Well, hey, 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 we've done it, my friend. I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do it again. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let us always remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care.